get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, oh, with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tap my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide for life. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. With only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Kalorn strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trace.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music. With only good music.
Oh my goodness. Hello, hello, hello. It is good to be back here on Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio. I am your host, C. Maria Wall. Wow, it's been a while, but I needed some much needed rest after our Marathon of Hope Kingdom movement. And what better way to begin our return, but with some good music, good friends, and good conversation. So tonight is ladies' night. It is girls' night out. We are going to be touching on a lot of topics that are buzzing around social media and anything that's on your mind right now. I do know that we have Sister Arlene Spann is already here joining me. Welcome to the guests in the chat room. Thank you so much for being here. If you'd like to get involved, you can either log on at Blog Talk and come back into the chat to leave your message, and I'll read it for you on air. Or you can give us a call at 646-478-4726. Welcome to all of the callers who are joining us in the call query. If you'd like to be a part of our open discussion, press the number 1 on your phone right now to let me know that you would like to join our conversation while we wait for some of the other panelists to come on tonight. We do realize that it's still a holiday weekend, but nonetheless, we are back We are going to have a good time, and that's all that I have to say about it. So tonight is about letting things out, saying what's on your mind. Sister Arlene Spann, I know that you're here. I just unmuted your mic, so I know that let me know that you can hear me and that I can hear you, so we're not having any technical difficulties this evening.
Okay, I'm here. Mic check. Arlene Spann is here, Sister C. Maria. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Arlene Spann from Arlene Spann Sweats is here. She has been a wonderful, wonderful supporter and sister and friend since we met back in January, I believe, of this year, 2014. And the stories we could tell. But tonight, for those of you in a call query especially, don't let us take up the whole show. If you have something that you'd like to speak about, press the number one and we'll bring you on air. But right now, I do have a lot of topics that people did send me. And, you know, we spoke briefly earlier, Sister Arlene, about this guy, this cute criminal that women are losing their ever-loving minds over, Jeremy Meeks. And I just happened to have checked out what was going on in his world, because the talk earlier in the week was the fact that he had gotten representation, the agent who represented the infamous Octomom had allegedly contracted to be his representative. So when he gets out of jail, he's going to, you know, work with this guy and get him some modeling and whatever, all of this type of things. And today I looked up, and it turns out that that was, may or may not have been true, but he has actually. this is so amazing to me. Our country and the world is going in such a wrong direction. he's contracted with a big agent out of a New York, I believe it's a New York firm, and he has signed with Blaze Models. And,
wow.
I can't stop laughing. And he has the potential to make an estimated $30,000 to $100,000 a month in modeling and entertainment gigs alone, to $100,000 a month for a practical career criminal. Actually, I stand corrected. I believe that his new agent is Jim Jordan of the White Cross Management Company. It says that Jordan has agreed to help Meeks go legit. And this is from the New York Daily News. So, you know, I think that the problem isn't necessarily Meeks himself. He can't help how he looks. But when I was reading some of the responses by some women were saying he could break into their house anytime. He could do whatever he wanted to them. He's fine. He's this. You know, it really does concern me that so many women, you know, I don't know whether, what do you think it is? Their self-esteem issue, or they're just lonely hearts? Because I'm about to start a whole new series to women 45 and older, because I know from personal experience and what I see every single day that the women in this category alone, in that age range alone, have lost their ever-loving minds. So, you know, we talk about, you always hear men say men think with what they have below their belts. Well, it would appear that a lot of women now are using what they have below their waistlines, thinking that that's going to get that warm body to stay in their cold bed. So what's your take on all of this? And I'm sure that you've come across a lot of this being a coach, a professional coach. You know that we deal with any and everything. So What have you? What's been your experience? What have you witnessed in all of this across the age ranges, I guess?
Wow, that's an excellent question. Thank you, C. Maria. You know, for years and years now, we know that everyone thinks that, you know, sex sells. Sex, the sexy look and the facial looks of people and, you know, the ladies falling out and throwing articles of clothing and doing all kinds of silly things, you know, because of looks. And you said something earlier that I would tend to agree with, and that would be the self-esteem issues,
right,
that we have sometimes as women when we can look beyond what a person has done and look beyond the fact of who they are and just say, wow, they look so good. I don't care what they've done. I just want to, you know, whatever is going through that person's mind at the time. But it does become a self-esteem issue that we can lower our standards, and that's how I look at it. We're
right.
going to lower our standards based on how someone looks, not what their character is, not what they've done, but just that physical outward appearance. It lets me know that we still have a long way to go, Signore. We have a long way to go. Wow.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, we do. And welcome to the guests coming into the call, Corey. If you'd like to chime in on our conversation, press the number 1 on your phone, and I will bring you on air. This is Girls Night Out. It's about us discussing a whole lot of interesting things going on in the world, from relationships to total frivolity and buffoonery that's going on all over the place right about now. So right now we're talking about the infamous, what I call the cute criminal, Jeremy Meeks. If you all have not been keeping up with him, he now has major representation, and he stands to make between $30,000 and $100,000 a month with modeling and other gigs that he'll be getting. And allegedly his representative says that he's just there to help him get legit. And I'm not too sure if the agent knows what he's getting into here, because if we're talking about gangs and career criminals, it just doesn't work that way. To take him from the life that he's in and put him in a position where he's making $30,000 to $100,000, if he is indeed a member of a gang, well, they're going to want their piece of that pie as well. So this could be jumping out of the pan and totally into the fire. But so what's your take, everyone on the line? If you've been following this, go ahead, press the number 1 on your phone. Feel free to join in. Tonight belongs to us. It's about us talking about the things that are really on our heart, mind, body, spirits, and soul. But I'm not going to give too much time to Mr. Meeks, because the problem isn't him himself. I mean, yes, he's a criminal and all of that. We have that part. The problem is the women who made all of these comments, who made this man an instant celebrity, who are willing to sell their souls to the devil for a few stolen moments with this man who doesn't even know that these women exist. And if he did, he probably wouldn't want a vast majority of them. But you're right, Sister Arlene. This thing called self-esteem has become a dying art. It seems like women are so desperate to have that person in their life that They're willing to compromise everything. And then once they are abused and excused, they want to get upset with the world. And I think that that in itself is an issue that needs to be addressed because, you know, every now and then I share bits and pieces of what I had gone through with my abusive marriage. And to have a woman where our children used to play together and then, you know, years down the road, my son is 30 now, married and on his own, but you see my husband and you decide that you're going to creep with a married man right in the backyard, a few yards away from one another. And he chose a woman who lives at home with her mommy and daddy at 45 years and older. And one thing that I can say, that near the end of our marriage, my ex-husband was very free to speak about everything and anything, including the neighbor. And one thing that he said was the fact that she was desperate and he could do whatever he wanted to her, and she would be sitting there waiting for him to come right back whenever he felt like coming back. And it would appear that's how he carried it with her. And, you know, she thinks that she has something had something special in him, and she didn't care about the fact that she was destroying a marriage or a family. And this man is sitting here talking about her like a dope on a rope. And these women need to understand that when you come into something like that, you come in on deceptions and lies and deceit. You're breaking up families and marriages. It comes to no end. And even if you marry these people, you'll always have that doubt. And again, welcome to all of the callers coming in. If you want to chime in, right now we're talking about the infamous cute criminal Jeremy Meeks. He has official representation now. He stands to make between $30,000 and $100,000 a month once he gets out of jail this time, doing modeling and other gigs. But the problem is the women who made this criminal a celebrity, and how many of them were willing to sell their souls to the devil for this man who doesn't even know that they exist. And once he comes out, if he does go legit and he's that successful, he'll never know them anyway. But the problem is so many women are so desperate nowadays, they would appear to want to take anything, anything that shows them interest. So back to my ex-husband, one of the things that he said was that he targeted women, mostly older women, whose biological time clocks had fallen off the wall and been taken away with the trash, is how he worded it. He said, he just said what he knew they wanted to hear. And then he could control them and get whatever he wanted from them. And he preferred that life because coming home, being a husband and a father, was too real for him. And he could get whatever he wanted from these women, and they would sit and wait for him to come back like little trained dogs while he made his rounds, because they made him feel like he was the king of the world. He was the best thing since air itself. And these women didn't care, because for that small moment, they felt as though that he was their man and he actually loved them. So it was very enlightening to hear it from the male's perspective. I won't call him a man. He's just a male by DNA, because a real man would not have done that to his wife or any other woman. But from a male perspective. you know, it amazes me. And I sat back for years because we divorced in 2010. And I sat for years watching him talk to the neighbor's sister who lives across the street from me. Why talk to the neighbor who lives behind me? So then I knew another neighbor who he was dealing with and another woman he was living with. So I stopped counting after about four or five.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the neighbor ever realized that he was talking to her sister and her too. And I'm a lady, so I didn't get in the middle of it. I just took my popcorn and sat outside and thanked God that I was divorced from the clown. So I know something went down because the neighbor took the vehicle, I'm assuming she had brought for him, because he had no driver's license and no money at the time. But she took that back, and I'm assuming she sold it. So, Lord only knows what's going on now. But as long as he finally left me alone, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good with that. So, I just know that I loved me more than stay in that type of a situation where I was going to allow this man to come home and violate me and then go out there, you know, for lack of better words, spread his dirty dipstick and every bit of rotten cotton all over the place and then bring something home to me. That was not going to happen. So for my health, for my well-being, for my life, I had to make that decision to work towards starting over. And, you know, here I am. I mean, there are days when I still do experience and feel the remnants of his actions in the divorce, but I know that I'm not going to wake up one morning and the doctor's going to call me and tell me that I have some incurable disease.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can sleep at night knowing that, you know, I'm not going to wake up with my head bashed in. Or as I used to say, wake up dead. So that peace of mind and that peace, period, means more to me. But I love me more than to have accepted that type of behavior. And for all of the people on the call, if you'd like to chime in, press the number one on your phone, because I've got a real doozy coming up. I have to find it. Is she, this poor lady. I posted this a few days ago about the woman who was arrested for calling her ex-boyfriend 77,000. That's right, I said 77,000 times in a week.
Wow.
This woman is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So it's so funny because she's 28 years old, and she not only called her ex-lover 77,639 times in a week, but she also sent him, this is allegedly, 1,937 emails, 41,229 text messages, 217 sung messages, and 647 letters in the same period. Let me say that again for all of the listeners.
Wow.
77,639 times in 1 week. 1,937 emails, 41,229 text messages, 217 songs. I'd love to hear some of those songs. And 647 letters, all in the same time period. When did she sleep? When did she work? And what does her phone bill look like?
Wow.
77,639. 77,000. And add the rest of...
Wow.
Did she find time for anything? There's only 7 days in a week. She called him 77,639 times. Add everything else. Ladies, we have so got to do better. We have got to do better. Now, I don't even know if she's out of jail, but if she is out of jail, she really does need to go and get some help because, and then for those of you, if you're on our Facebook page, if you're in the Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio group there, or if you're in any of our groups, I put up the picture, and she was even crying when they took her mugshot. She looked like she was so distraught. And in the chat room, Victoria LaPrince writes, "I think a cheating male has their own insecurities and are intimidated by some women. That's what they have to leave the nest to try to find themselves in other insecure women." And you are absolutely right. You're right, Victoria, because that's the one thing that I got out of what my ex-husband told me was the fact that, like he said, coming home reminded him of his inadequacies, his shortcomings. When he walked in the door to this home, he knew that he was not up to par. But when he would creep with the neighbor or somebody, she didn't care. He could do whatever he wanted. He could say whatever he wanted, and she accepted it. You are absolutely right. I do believe that these types of people are broken, and they really don't get it. They don't understand that going out hurting other women is not the way to make this right in any way whatsoever. And the question is, there's no easy fix for this, so we have to really go here. We have to talk and get on shows like this and try to reach at least one person and let ladies know that we are worth more than this. And gentlemen, if you're listening, you know what? If there's a problem, you can fix it. If there's a problem, you can seek help without hurting other people. There's a way to do everything, but we have to do it. And Victoria LaPrince writes, "Hurt people hurt people." And that's correct. Until you become a hurt person who's healed to the point where you can not hurt but help heal people, this vicious cycle is going to continue. And the worst part is you have hurt people, you have insecure people hooking up with hurt people, or any combination thereof, and that just makes an unhealthy mix. And once we get to that point where it's this type of dysfunction. It does spread. The children see it. Mm-hmm. It's evident throughout families, in your communities, your workplace. It does in so many people. And another issue that we as women, we have a problem with that I've noticed, and I've been guilty of it in the past, is that we take all of the burdens, all of the guilt on ourselves.
Mm.
Where, you know, there's things that we just aren't, we're not even responsible for. But we find ourselves being apologetic. We find ourselves trying to rationalize what has happened. And if that means making ourselves guilty, then a lot of women tend to do that as well. And that's when that domestic violence and that abuse comes in, because we as women, we're the nurturers in the bunch. We try to make everything right. We love with all of our heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul. And when things fall apart, so many of us, whether it be from childhood conditioning or life experiences or lack of self-esteem or no self-esteem, suddenly it's easier to blame ourselves than to address the real issues, the real problems.
Wow.
And I don't know. Go ahead.
I was going to piggyback on something that you just said about not addressing the real problems. And that, for some people, that is an escape. You just said it. They know that there is an underlying real problem, but they want to escape from that problem. And if they can find release in another person, and it doesn't matter if that person is a person with a family or a person who belongs to someone else, if they can escape their hurt, many times the women, and in some instances even the men, will find themselves just engrossed in another person because they really do want to escape their own pain. And like you said earlier, their own insecurities. And they don't realize their purpose for being. And because of that, they just escape. And, you know, some people go even as far as to create another person within themselves. They'll have another personality that'll come out at different times. They might be one thing with you and me, but when they're with someone else, they have a totally different personality altogether. And in some instances, they give that personality a totally different name. So we still have, like I said earlier, a long way to go. And like the show says, healing through hurt, there are a lot of hurt women out there who think that they should continue to be hurt and hurt again, and just aren't receptive to understanding that they can be in a better place than where they are now. So we still do have a long way to go, but the women who are in that position, they have to be receptive when the help comes through shows like this so that they can be healing themselves and understand that they do have a purpose for being and understand that they're more, you know, they're more than just a doormat. They're more than just someone for someone to just use. And many times, you know, that's what's happening. They're being used and abused. Some, unfortunately, some like that. But there are many who don't like it but just find themselves in that circumstance at that moment and just don't know how to get out. And it's shows like yours that helps them. And you bring the people to help them, to show them that there's a better life and there's a better way. So, wow, we got a long way to go. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
We have way to go. Yes.
Yes, we do. And the ladies are really popping in the event page. Nisha Jackson says, the New Mexico woman texts, et cetera. Absolutely. Sure signs of a broken woman with no self-esteem. And she says, you know what? We need to rise up. We do. We need to rise up. We really do. And Victoria LaPrince says, lack of self-awareness will hinder anyone's growth. It will. It will hinder anyone's growth. But in the same breath, we as women, we need to understand. And we need to, like I said before, we need to know that we're worth more than this. What do you get when you have that warm body in your cold bed for, what, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is? You know, when you know that this man is lying with you, abusing your body, disrespecting your body, because a woman's body is a temple. The bottom line is simple. You know then he's going to get up, shower, then he's going home to his family. And 10 to 1, he's going to lay down with his wife too. How can most people be okay with that? In my worst hours, I have never, ever, ever crossed that line with a married man. No one can ever say that. And if they do, they're lying, and I will challenge them to prove otherwise, because that's just, there are some lines that should never, ever be crossed, and that's just one of them. Ladies, you hit the nail on the head, Sister Arlette. We have such a long way to go. We are way off base. It's just... words can't describe. Words just can't describe just how far we've fallen. We can't just look at the men and say that the men are all dogs and they're mistreating women. We are allowing ourselves to be mistreated. Mm-hmm. We're putting ourselves out there to be mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing so, what do we expect? If you advertise a yard sale, people are always going to come to look through the junk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
wow.
One person's trash is another person's trash. When you're dealing with infidelity, there is no treasure in that. One person's trash will always be another person's trash. There is no treasure in infidelity, period. There is none. And I'm going to go down another road, and some people are going to be upset, but this show is about keeping it real. And I interview a lot of men who date. And one of the things that many of them from all social economic groups have said, they meet a lot of women who claim to be ladies and Christianly ladies until they go on the first date. And this is not absolute to all the listeners. This is not absolute. But let's just call a spade a spade. The bottom line is, if you're going to talk about being a Christian lady and you want to quote the Bible, don't get out there on the first date and try to get the man in bed. He's not going to stay with you, and if he's a real man, he's not going to want you anyway. So the bottom line is simple. Ladies, now you know, we as Christian women, we're held to a much higher standard. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. And, you know, was a local minister here, you may know who I'm talking about. It's amazing how men can get up. And a local minister said recently, and some of y'all may have heard it, when his comment was, these hoes ain't loyal. And it made the news. It made the round all over the place. These hoes ain't loyal. And most people in his congregation were, amen, they were jumping and clapping, and they were, yes, Lord, amen. The problem is, I'm sorry, weren't you just caught cheating on your wife?
Wow.
So
Which hole are you talking about? The hole you see in the mirror? Or are you talking about the hole that was in your bed that you were caught with? I'm a bit confused. And why did the congregation, amen, hallelujah, and jumping around? I'm sorry. You're both sinners in the sight of God. But you're going to sit in a pulpit and say these hoes ain't loyal. Well, they're hoes. Hoes aren't supposed to be loyal. But if you're going to point the finger at, as he put it, the hoes, he should also point the finger at the man hoe he saw in the mirror. He should have known better. He should have known better. And the bottom line is simple. So ladies, when we put ourselves out there, if you act like a duck, you quack like a duck, you wiggle your little butt like a duck, guess what? You're going to be treated like a duck.
Mm.
And throughout history, men, the standards that men are held to are different from the standards that women are held to. So the bottom line is, if a man cheats, obviously to most people, it's okay. If a woman cheats, she's a hoe. If a man does it, depends on who you ask. You know, he was stressed out. She wasn't doing her job at home. So he goes out and he cheats because she wasn't doing her job. Everything, again, throughout history and society becomes our fault. Back to the chat room. Victoria says people have to realize that they do have a problem and then be willing to address it. Whatever the issue is, they must first see that it is an issue. And that's true. And that's one thing that I can say about my ex. His thing was he had the issue, but he wasn't going to get help if I didn't go to get help with him. And I'm like, well, why am I going? He couldn't give me a clear and concise answer as to why I'd need to go and get help when I wasn't the problem. Now, on any given day, depending on who he's talking to, he'd tell people that I was a great wife. It was him. But then when he gets ticked off, all of a sudden, I was the worst thing since poison air and Satan himself. But he knows that I was his ride-or-die wife. Even when I learned things about him that I didn't know, I tried to help him to get on that straight and narrow. But some people don't want that. And he chose the easy way out, the low road. So you're absolutely right. And I do know that there's some more comments in here. Let me refresh the page. Nisha Jackson writes, the sad time of our society. God's not in them. Gone are the days of respect for oneself, women, and the chivalry of men. She says she has a friend whose daughter received a promise ring. Modern day women know nothing about that. Sadly, it's such a smorgasbord with a lack of moral standards. You know, Nish, I was talking about things like the promise ring, and I used to have something called the hope chest. And the hope chest, that's really old school. The minute that I got my first job, I started buying things and putting them in chests. I keep them housed in my closet in my room so that when I got to the point where I could move out, I had a lot of things already. So when I moved into my new home, I didn't have to buy a lot of new things. And I collected this stuff over the years, so even the price of some of the things that I had increased dramatically. But I already had them in several of my hope chests. So when I moved, I had a lot of things, pots and pans and dishes and things already packed away that I had acquired. And the same thing with the promise ring. It's a promise of a future. It's something that you're working towards. It's something that you agree that you're going to wait on each other and wait for the right time. And you're right, well, we can even go a step further. Most women I know can't cook. They can't even cook from a box. They can't even warm something up. The art of scratch cooking is gone. It's just not there anymore. And, you know, Sister Arlene, I'm at a loss because there are times when, before we get into, for our next hour, we're going to get into some of the letters that I've received. And I've touched on a lot of it, but it gets, there's some other issues that people need. And it's still stemming from insecurity. But what do you think at this point we need to do, you know, other than a whole lot of prayer? What can we do as, you know, we are the matriarchs. We are the icons. What can we do? Because I'm, as I told you earlier, I'm starting a whole new series where for women 45 and older, and I'm going to keep it very real because I see what we're doing. You know, it's bad enough that the young girls are wearing outfits that are inappropriate, but when you're 45 and older, no harm. I don't want to see any part of your sagging baggage anywhere, period. Don't want to see it. Not interested. Cover it up. Stop going out here. If you're 45 and that 20-year-old's telling you how much he loves you, there's a problem. There's a big problem. And if you believe it, and next thing you know, the 20-year-old is gone, and I'm sorry, you're 45 and pregnant? No. Wow. So that means when the baby turns 20, you'll be what, 65, 66 years old? Oh, that'll go over well. But it's happening more and more every day. Back to the chat room. Nisha Jackson writes, double standard that today's woman helped fuel the fire of men's infidelity is a feather. But women are the hoe. Exactly. Exactly. The bottom line is I look at it as, like I said, the minister got up there in that pulpit and he said, these hoes ain't loyal. Well, as I said, if they're real hoes, hoes aren't meant to be loyal. They move around from person to person to person. That's what hoes do. They go wherever they're going to get what they need out of it. But if you have been caught, for lack of better words, with your pants down, I'm like, you really should be silent. Don't go there. But, you know, my original problem was the fact that the congregation took delight in those words. So, again, that's going to bring us to another topic. Nowadays, the congregations or the people, do you believe that some, not all, to all the listeners, that they are worshiping the man or the woman on that pedestal and not God? Because I was reading something, I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a church in Florida, I believe, where they ban children because their minister is a registered sex offender, child sex offender, and he cannot be around children. So instead of them getting a new minister, they banned all children from their church.
Wow.
So,
man, look at this. Wow. I'm sorry. Wow. That, woo.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yes.
Whatever happened to train up a child in the way that he should go? Whatever happened to man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart? Whatever happened to, you know, it's better to obey God than man? I mean, in that instance, where did that go, church people? What happened to those scriptures that they would ban the children? And what happened to the scriptures even in the women's cases? Remember Mary Magdalene, and when the people came and they were bringing her before Jesus, and then he just stooped down and began to write. And, you know, the speculators tend to say, since the people want to call the women the hoes, the speculators tend to say that maybe he was writing the names of all of those gentlemen who were just standing by that maybe had laid with her. And since they wanted to stone her, recognizing their names, they had to throw down their stones, understanding you're calling this woman a hoe, but I'm saying the same thing back to you. It's the speculation that some say concerning what Jesus did when he rolled on the ground. But, you know, people have that double standard. I heard you say that one of the listeners said that. That's the issue. I mean, I can imagine, even in the church situation, me saying to my children, they're grown now, but saying to my grandchildren who would have a desire to come to church with me, and I'm saying, well, baby, you can't come to church with me. You know, we can't go in fellowship together as a family, you know, because this sex offender who's teaching us, we'd rather have him training and teaching and filling our spirit. And, baby, you go someplace else. Let's just split the family up. You go over here and I'll go here, because what he has to say to us is going to be more important than me keeping us together as a family. I'm going to only repeat myself. We have a long way to go. We're looking at man. You said it earlier. We got the man on the pedestal. We're looking at him. We're turning our backs on family once again for the sake of some man. Oh, wow. I don't know what else to say. Wow. All I'm saying is wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Exactly. You know, sad as it is, I'm just trying to figure out, when the congregation goes to church, there is nothing this man could tell me. I mean, this makes no sense to me. What is going on? God going to step in. God cannot be happy with all of this as a whole, but his church, his temples are falling apart. When I see so many people, like you said, they're worshiping that man and that woman standing up there telling them their script of the day. Not scripture, their script of the day. One of my old friends, she would be near a church, and she would go by and see the minister in there. He'd be practicing his sermon. And she said that she'd laugh sometimes, because she'd stand outside and she'd watch him, and he'd like stop at intervals. Because that would be the times when she said it seemed like that was when his congregation would be, you know, praising him and hallelujah and stuff. So he'd have his little intervals to stop to give them a chance to make all of that. She said she could just hear it mentally in her mind. Everybody's clapping and, yay, hallelujah. And he would stop and he'd say, say amen. And he'd stand and like, amen. You know, and she said the whole thing was a script. So now...
Wow.
We have people who give us their scripts, not necessarily something straight from the scripture. And we have these people saying hoes ain't loyal when they've been caught in one of the biggest scandals of infidelity and cheating out there, but it's the hoes that ain't loyal. No. Really? So, ladies, I think that what we're trying to say tonight is the fact that we need to change. If we carry ourselves as ladies, then we won't be in these situations. When somebody who's jealous of you calls you a hoe just because they're jealous, that's one thing. But when someone calls you a hoe because you voluntarily put yourselves in a position to remove all doubt, then that becomes a problem on you. Here we go back to the chat room. Nisha writes, banning the child from the church further destroys the future generations and hindering creating a new legacy. It also, in some respects, keeps a child from speaking up, thinking that they are doing wrong when the adult is the abuser.
Wow.
And that's true. Because some churches tend to really make you feel like children are meant to be seen and not heard. And that's where so many of the problems, and again, that's generational. That's coming from way back when. Way back when. And I want you to think about this for a minute to all of the listeners. What is it, how did you feel growing up? For those of you that had that perfect foo-foo, fluff-fluff life, we're so happy for you. I'm going to do a show on denial in a couple of weeks. Make sure that you come back for that one. But tonight, for those of you who didn't have that perfect fluff-fluff, foo-foo life, how did you feel growing up? Was there a time when something happened, but you were made to feel as though you would be persecuted if you spoke about it? And what would you want your child to do if they something happened to them? Would you encourage them to speak up, or would you not? And I'm going to share something that Nisha Jackson wrote in the room. Jackson. I'm not talking too well tonight. So many of our girls are not feeling this today. And she put up a poem. It says, girls are like apples on trees. The best ones are at the top of the tree. The boys don't want to reach for the good ones because they are afraid of falling and getting hurt. Instead, they just get the rotten apples from the ground that aren't as good but easy. So the apples at the top think something is wrong with them, when in reality, they are amazing. They just have to wait for the right boy to come along, the one who's brave enough to climb all the way to the top of the tree. And that is so true. And you know what? Let's take this a step further. This goes for women, period. Now, we know that the ratio of females to males is pretty bad. But if we wait for the right one to come along, he's been working towards and seeking and searching and preparing himself to be the right one for that apple at the top of the tree. But so many of us are so quick to jump into anything and everything. We accept how they treat us. We accept what they do for us. Most times, a lot of times, it's absolutely nothing. Suddenly, we find ourselves cooking for them, cleaning for them, providing for them, paying the rent for them, doing everything for them. And what are we getting out of it? We could have gone to the store and purchased a robot if they had them Give Walmart a chance. The minute they see that it's something there, you'll be able to get 2-for-1 special probably at Walmart if they can make them and sell them in a box. The bottom line is simple. If that's what you want, just like they'll call you a hoe, you're really paying for love.
Wow.
You're paying
yeah.
for love. If you are the one paying the bills, he's riding around in your car. He's not giving you anything because you love him. He's lying up in your bed. He's eating your food. When it comes time when you need something for a bill, you know, baby, the economy is bad. I didn't do too well at work this week. And the infamous, my check was short. I need to get that checked out. And you say, okay. And you rob Peter and Peter's brother and Peter's uncle to pay for your boyfriend Paul's Porsche while
mm-hmm.
you're driving around in your cute little Mini. The bottom line is simple. You're paying for a product. You're receiving shoddy service. It's no different than going out getting any other product or service. But just remember, you the hoe that ain't loyal.
Because
the minute that you can't afford to give him what he wants, you a dirty, low-down hoe. Where the money going? You must be spending it on somebody else. Because you can no longer afford your addiction. And I have a piece in my book, Silent Noise Lip Service, called Addiction. It's
mm-hmm.
all about that. Because you've gotten hooked on it. You've gotten hooked on having that warm body that ignores you,
mm-hmm.
that warm body that doesn't do anything but beds you when it feels like it. But you get to go out and tell all your girlfriends, yeah, my man comes home. I got a man. And that's about as far as you can go because everything else you're taking care of without realizing that you can do everything that you're doing by yourself. Keep the Porsche, keep the money that you're paying for his bills, keep that in the bank for your rainy day, being as though you're taking care of your bills and his bills too. You're driving the Mini and he's driving the Porsche because you love him. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing how we can take that word love and turn it into just another dirty four-letter word.
Wow.
It's amazing. Back to the chat room, Victoria Love Prince. I was always told to be seen and not be heard up until her mom's death. She was always
wow.
reluctant of her speaking out, but she rarely spoke out for herself as well. So people only teach what they have been taught. And that's exactly what I was saying, Victoria.
Mm.
It's generational. It is generational. We need to learn. We need to be those beacons. We need to do more of these girls' nights out so that people can hear this show and know it's time to break that vicious cycle. It's time to break that vicious cycle. Oh, we have a lot of comments in the room. Nisha Jackson writes, today's women are looking for the bling bling. When did money become more important than a human being? Oh, sorry, when Satan became glorified by the sinner. By the sinner. And Victoria writes, I paid for love for so long without knowing that it was what I was doing. But as my mom said, a broad education is the best education, a well-paid-for, learned lesson. Hashtag never again. Amen to that. Amen to that. And it is.
Amen.
And it can become a very expensive lesson learned. Very expensive. Wow. So, ladies, once again, how much are you willing to pay before you realize the education that you're paying for, you're not only the student, but you've made yourself become the teacher.
Mm.
Consider the lesson learned. You bought into your own demise. You bought into your own destruction. Because believe you me, he's going to walk away. He's going to leave. He's going to move on. And, you know, this is so wonderful because, you know, I was going to cancel this show tonight because it is the holiday weekend. But I am so enjoying the fact that I see, you know, we have people listening in the call query.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them have been here since we started. We mm-hmm. have our sisters talking in the chat room, and you and I are here.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, no matter how we do this, it always turns out to be a very, very anointed discussion. And everything that we say here tonight is going to help someone.
Yes.
Someone is going to hear this show down the road. And it's so good to have the sister. And ladies, if you want to call in, please do so for our last hour or so. 646-478-4726. Would love to hear from you. Matter of fact, Sister Jackson will actually be my guest this month on the, what is it, Sister Jackson? I think it's the 26th of this month. She will be my special guest. Now, you want to hear a very heartfelt story. Sister Jackson, give us a call in. Tell us a little bit about yourself. It's time for you to do a plug right about now if you'd like. If you're able to, 646-478-4726. And, of course, Sister Victoria, thank you so much for sharing your story. I can relate to everything that you have said this evening because I know what it's like to live that invisible, silent life. And I'm trying to look up some of the messages that I've gotten in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that a young lady writes that she loves her significant other and she wants to stay with him. But here we go, ladies. She feels as though he's straying from the relationship, even though he has told her more than once that their relationship is solid. But she has a history of insecurities and not trusting in people. So we're going to move on and talk about the infamous being our own worst enemy. I'm sure that you know some people, Sister Arlene, and ladies
mm-hmm.
in the chat. How many times have we actually sabotaged our own happiness?
Mm-hmm. 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 And it's, wow. And it's amazing you asked that question. And I'm thinking back, and I even know of a family member that mm-hmm. is, the family member is deceased now, but I can remember when she was with a man who was very abusive. And, you know, everyone in the family said to her, you know, to, you know, get away from him. And she didn't, you know, she didn't do it. But eventually she would marry this person. And I can remember the days that she would come and she might have a broken nose or a broken arm. And I can remember at one point, she had two broken arms. And I can remember her saying, if she didn't make him upset, then this wouldn't happen. If she she would keep bringing it on herself. She said,
right.
"Well, he loves me, but if I didn't do this, then it wouldn't have caused him to do this. He really does love me." And she would always say that he really does love me. But us on the outside looking in, my husband loves me, and he's not beating on me. And I don't have two broken arms and a broken nose and a broken leg. And I don't have any broken body parts. That's not his way of showing me that he loves me. But her sabotaging in her mind, she felt that he loved her just by the fact that he was touching and abusing her and still remained with her. And you said sabotaging. Wow, there are so many women, because of their history, because of, like you said, generational things, because some of them, honestly, Steve Maria, needed to get some form of either mental health issue situations that were going on, meaning that they needed to talk with someone to help. And I'm just going to say this about us. You talked about the 45-year-old women and up. You know, we are commanded to older ones, and older don't necessarily mean older in age always, but the women who are wise in their years, we are commanded to help train these younger women. But they have to be receptive when we come to them based on our experience and based on the fact that we know some stuff. Because we've gone through some stuff. And because we've gone through some stuff, we can share with them and hope that they're receptive to receive, because, you know, if there's so many things that we do that are repetitive, meaning that my generation did it, the generation before me did it, the generation before that, and at what point do we draw the line and break the curse? And I'm going to give you an example, even though it's a medical issue, but even with me, C. Maria, and as health-wise, remember the story about everyone in my family having diabetes, and I said, no, I'm going to break the curse at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped it. It's the same thing for those women who think that they're just a doormat, or that who think that they're insignificant, or who think that they need to sabotage themselves to keep that man. At some point, you know, they need to realize that they are important, that they matter, and that they can be heard, that they don't have to sit on the sidelines and say, well, you know, okay, I'll be passive because I know I learned that I'm supposed to be seen and not heard. Well, you're an adult now. You know,
right.
There were, when you were a child, you did childish things, but when you become an adult, you put the childish stuff away. So now it's time for your voice. Your voice matters. So that woman who's out there who might feel that her voice is nothing, no, honey, your voice matters. You have a voice. Use your voice. It is your time now to be both seen and heard, because you have a story to tell and your voice matters. So take yourself up. Pick yourself up. There's a song that says, pick yourself up. Dust yourself off and start all over again. And today,
that's right.
whenever they hear this, C. Maria, they need to know that as of this day, whatever that day is, they need to know that their voice matters. So that's what
right.
I have to say.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're back to the chat room. Victoria writes, actions speak louder than words. She has been that woman, and the guy she was with clearly had one foot in the door and the other out of it. But her lack of self-esteem, she refused to believe that the relationship was over. Not too long after it started, he was in it for what she could do for him.
and the love was a one-way street.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
She was the only one on that one-way street. And that's
mm-hmm.
exactly right. And Nisha writes, many men today should be ashamed to be called man. Sadly, today's generations and legacy have few current role models to change or continue positive, pay it forward people
uh-huh.
to emulate. And again, you know, we can do a million shows. When my son was young, we had such a lack of male involvement that in his scout troop, I had to become the cub master because
wow.
no man would step up to do the job. My assistant cub master was a female too. We would ask, why don't you men want to get involved? They would happily drop off their sons to the meetings, to all the activities, but they wouldn't even get involved then on that level. And ladies, I'm not saying by any means we are women. We are built as women. We think as women. Stop trying to be a man. I got my
mm-hmm.
son a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the school. I sat down with one of his teachers. I got him a mentor. Secondly, my son had a function to go to. He was graduating or something from elementary school. I didn't know anything about how to make a tie, none of that. I walked up to an elderly Caucasian couple with my hands up. I said, listen, I'm a single parent. I don't want you all to think anything. I have a son, and I don't know how to tie a tie.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, could you show us how to do it? The lady, like I said, they were an older couple. She said, oh, why, sure, sweetie. And her husband came over and he said, young man, this is called a Windsor tie and this is how you do it. And he stayed there until he let him try it himself. And then they showed me how to do it to make sure that I knew what was going on and how to do it after they walked away. I said, thank you so much. I didn't know. Heck, my mother didn't know. Weren't any male role models around that wore ties. Nobody knew. But again, I had to get up the courage to ask someone, total stranger, an elderly
mm-hmm.
Caucasian couple, didn't know a Windsor tie from any other tie. You know, I just didn't know. But they took the time. They took the time to teach us, and we don't have that now. Anisha Jackson, she says, yes, yes, we will be together on the 26th. Can't call in today. She's at an event that requires her silence, but couldn't miss today's call. And I am so thankful that you are here and participating. This is what it's all about. We could have one person here. We could have two person here.
Mm-hmm.
We could have
mm-hmm.
the four people here, 44 people.
Mm-hmm.
The job is done because the message is getting out. We don't need one thing that I've always tried to tell people. Yes, I have a large following. But guess what? It just takes one pebble in the pond to send a large ripple. We don't need a bunch of people here to help heal a world. Just from our statements today, it's going to help somebody hearing this program. And to the listeners in the call query, if you want to chime in on anything, now would be the time. We have about 40 minutes left. If you have something on your mind you want to talk about, press the number 1 on your phone right now. And we will bring you on air. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to. If you have something that's pressing on your soul, now would be the time to bring it up. I'm going to try to do our girls' night out once a month so that we can have this time to talk about issues such as this, talking about our past, because I tell you, once we're able to come to grips with our past, accept our roles in what we've done, acceptance is one of the biggest parts to our healing process, to our forgiveness process. And when we can come together as women and discuss these things and discover that we were not alone all that time, that helps with the process, because when I can say that I can relate to Nisha, or I can relate to Victoria, or Arlene can tell a story and she can relate to things, and we know that we know other people, we know that we know, wow, I really do need to take a nap. But we add faces, we add voices, and it's different when that person on the receiving end knows that, wow, we are so not alone. Wow, I'm not alone. They get it. And so many times, I don't know what it is about human nature, but we tend to convince ourselves that this is only happening or has happened to us all by ourselves in this world. Hasn't happened to anyone else. No one. And I tell you, so many things, and I'm sure you know as a coach now, when you're dealing with people, how many times, Sister Arlene, or ladies if you're listening, how many times have you come across like or almost identical issues and circumstances?
And this is funny. And it's funny because it's almost always, because and when I'm listening to people, and it's almost as if I'm the person sitting there myself. So the relatability, it's like, okay, I'm sitting on this side now with you, but that's me talking to me, because it's the same issues that, you know, and even in my mind before, I would think, you know, you're out here by yourself. You're alone. But you're not.
Right.
There's so many others in the same predicament that we're in. So, and when you made a statement, Sue Maria, that's why I put it, we can relate to one another, because you know, we are not the only person in whatever that situation that we're in, that we're in.
Correct.
But as in this Women's Night Out, we can help one another. So that's the thing. We're here to help and encourage and uplift and inspire each one of us to look at our lives a little bit differently and see what can we do to help one another. It's all about healing those hurts. But you said, recognizing them and accepting them, and acceptance is a part of it as well, that, you know, we did some stuff, we know how, and we know we can overcome. You know, I'm just going to say this part. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal our thought patterns, and he wants to steal our joy, and he wants to steal and make us think that we are the only one in that situation. But we're not.
Right.
And as we begin to see that, then we know as women, as girls, we can talk one to another, and we can see that there are similarities, and we can see that we are not alone. And then we can see that we can just help one another. Just be girls and help one another. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. And the good part about all of this is the fact that for our younger listeners, now you see, we do understand. Us old heads, we do understand. Guess what? Because we experienced way back when what you're experiencing now. And I will say this to each and every one of you. I was left were 4 cents to my name. I had nothing but my faith, my forgiveness. I was dehumanized. I was no longer a human being. I was an animal in the sight of the man who promised to love, honor, and cherish me until death do us part. I was raped, disrespected to the utmost in my face. Neighbors, some of them enjoyed seeing the drama. I had little support. The closest support didn't live in this state. I had people who were giving other family members and friends their version of what they thought was going on. I was very alone. I grew up in an abusive, and I can say it now in 2014, what I've been silent about my entire life, in an abusive family. 10 to 1, people who were closest to me that I've known my entire life will go to the grave, keeping their secrets and lies. But here I stand. I came from being invisible and silent to someone who's very visible all over the world and extremely vocal, someone who had no self-esteem. Matter of fact, my self-esteem was so far gone, I even perished the thought of even attempting to think about getting any self-esteem. Because I had convinced myself, I had been conditioned to convince myself that it's okay to exist, be silent. It's just 24 hours in a day. If I can make it through this one, that's one more day down. I was supposed to work, be silent, and die, be done with it. So that's how that abusive childhood and things that happened then can mess up your entire development, your entire adulthood. And some people use their past. They use it as their vice, as their excuse for not moving forward, for not letting go of anything, for being bitter, for being hateful, for being vengeful. They use it because it's easy. It's the lowest road to take. It's not just the low road. It's the lowest road. And we've convinced ourselves that we're okay being at that subterranean level. And we have to understand. Stop looking at it that this is where I'm supposed to be. Put your head all the way back and look up, because when you're that low, you have no place to go but up. But up. We have to learn that we are so much more important. God did not put us on this planet to be walked upon. He did not put us on this planet to be silent. Each one of us has a destiny. We have a mission. So many people live and die and never even discover what their purpose for being here was. I can tell you. I can't tell you what it is in most cases, but I can tell you what it is not. You're not meant to be anyone's stepping stool. You're not meant to be anyone's rug. You're not meant to be invisible. You're not meant to be silent. I can share that with you. It's up to you to make the conscious decision to want to discover what your true purpose is. I can only tell you what it is not. It's not what you have been conditioned to believe it is in many cases. I haven't met one person that was meant to be here to lie down and let people step all over them every day of their life. We were here to be loved, to love and be loved, to procreate. We're here to enjoy everything that this blessing called life has to offer. And God didn't put us here to be abused, neglected, and excused. He didn't do that. He did not. Nisha Jackson writes, I've always been told, don't let a man have to tell you more than once that he's finished with the relationship. It then becomes, you're bad. This is the best advice I've been given, because he then knows I value myself too much to be abused in any way, emotional, physical, or otherwise. Be afraid and do it anyway, rather than be chipped away until you undervalue yourself. That's it. When you start to undervalue yourself, leap. She writes, leap, and the net will appear. Hallelujah. That is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. I stand here because I took that leap. I took that leap of faith. I took that leap into the unknown. I jumped. Mm-hmm. So tonight, if you take one thing away, jump. Not off a cliff. Not into oncoming traffic or in front of a train. It's not what we're talking about. You have to. Some people, you know, they'll take a bit of that and say, well, they said to jump. And that's the easy way out, so I'm going to kill myself, and that'll make everybody upset. No, don't try to use us as your excuse to do something really, really bad. That's not the type of jump we mean. That leap of faith into the unknown. That's when it counts the most. I'm starting a new series tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for my Sunday morning inspiration. It's the Greatness in You series. And one of my main focuses for tomorrow is that you were built for greatness. You were built to be God awesome and Jesus strong. You have to remember that. You were built to be God awesome and Jesus strong. My ex did everything to me but kill me. Looking back on my childhood, I could have been dead several times over, and I doubt if my immediate family would have missed me one bit. And that's the first time that I've admitted that, but this is my year of breaking every chain. The family members closest to me are now in their reaping season. It took them my entire life to get to this point, but I'm free. I'm healing. I'm moving forward. But yes, I am free. I'm free. And so many people think, oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can. You can get rid of, in order for you to move forward in anything positive, you have to let go of everything negative. Let me say it again. In order for you to move forward towards anything positive, you have to let go of and get rid of everything negative. It's going to hurt. It won't be easy. But with every wound, it will probably hurt before it will heal. But it's going to heal. Unless you're that type of person that likes to keep picking with that wound and reopening it over and over, and you know that if you do that with a wound, at some point it's going to get infected, and that infection is going to grow, and it's going to make you worse. You're going to end up at a worse spot. So therefore, give that wound a chance to heal. And Nisha Jackson writes, when you see things going bad, start preparing financially. Believe me, most, she's doing it for herself. So why not you? The bottom line is simple, and that is true. When I was preparing, because one thing that I went through in the courts is that I learned that I had my home built years before I even met my husband. But because it was the marital domicile, if I go before that judge and tick off that judge. He can put me out of my own property and let my ex stay in the home that I built. I am the original owner of my home. Yes, I'm one of those people who lived the American dream. I had my home built.
Mm-hmm.
But he could live in it, and the judge could have put me out of my own home. So be careful who you let into your lives. Don't get me wrong. My ex-husband and I, we went on old-fashioned dates. We would do movie night. We would go and get our little quarter pound of hot dog. We'd even make Walmart runs late at night because it's a beautiful drive out here where I live. Wonderful. We play Bible games. We do it all. Then he did a total 180 on me when we got married and got hooked up with a skank in the backyard. Yeah, I called her a skank. The bottom line is simple. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I had my faith, 4 cents, and my forgiveness. Because, you see, the forgiveness wasn't to let him and the neighbor off the hook. They're both guilty of sin. The forgiveness was so that I could move on, so that I wouldn't be old gray, sitting home in squalor, bitter, ain't got no man. That's right, I'm going to break it down. Ain't got no man. Hate everybody that does have a man. Hate every man on the planet, because if I was there, he'd do what I want. While I sit home, grow older by myself. Because I chose not to forgive, so I chose to take the high road. I had to forgive so that I could heal, so that I could move on, so that I could allow the next man to come along. I know so many women who have said, I ain't never getting married again. I ain't never hooking up with nobody. Because this one fool hurt you, you're going to skip out on your other blessing that God has for you, or the real man that was supposed to be in your life. You're going to shun him because of what one of the sons of Satan did to you. So, in other words, you're still going to let the ghost of your past win. Or you're so afraid of growing old alone, you're going to keep the son of Satan in your life so that you won't be alone. So many women would rather be alone, would rather be with someone and be miserable than be alone and be happy. And that's a sad state of affairs. I am going back over here to the chat room. Nisha Jackson says, forgiveness is the key to healing, not for the other person, but for you to move forward and grasp all that awaits you. And that is true. That's exactly, now you've heard it more than once for more than one person. And I know that some of you are shaking your heads. I ain't going to do this and I ain't going to do that. Just think about the way that you're reacting. I'm happy. You're upset. You're busy with the head roll and the eyes rolling, talk about what you're not going to do. Well, then guess what? You're not going to be happy. You're not going to move forward. You're not going to be successful. And guess what? I do not care. If you don't care, I don't, because guess what? I'm happy. And when the next good guy comes along, I'm going to ride that relationship until the wheels fall off. And guess what? When the wheels fall off, I'm going to wait for the next sale for another new bike to come along. End of discussion. So you do whatever you want to do. It's okay by me. Amen.
Amen. I can laugh.
Oh, Victoria writes, you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. We have to stop being so comfortable with being uncomfortable. I like that. Let me say this again. We have to stop being so comfortable with being uncomfortable. How many ways do you all need to hear this tonight, ladies? It's ladies' night out. It's ladies' night out. The bottom line is simple. Stop being comfortable. Being uncomfortable.
Wow.
Are you a priority or an option? If you're an option for M, become a priority for yourself.
Yeah.
Move on. It's okay. Trust me. You get bored being home on Saturday nights, call in. Come join us. We're here. We're going to be here. Sister Arlene doesn't have to be here, but she's here almost every single Saturday night when there's a show. She's here. I'm here because I'm the host. And some nights, even when I'm not here, guess what? I may say, Sister Arlene, I need you to host the show. So somebody will be here. Most nights, unless I'm really not feeling well or I have a function. But for the most part, you will find us here on Healing Through Hurt because guess what? This is our place of healing. We keep it real. We tell you like it is. Don't sugarcoat anything. I'd rather rock the boat before I sugarcoat. Because sugarcoat gets you nowhere. Because that's just more dumb bunny foo-foo-fluff-fluff. We're all speakers. The difference is I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. We're going to tell you what you need to hear. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear. So I probably won't be a millionaire anytime soon because I'm not going to tell you all what I know you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear.
What you need to hear.
Big difference. If you want that fluff-fluff foo-foo talk, there's a whole bunch of speakers out there you all can go to that will get you hyped up, take your money for their CDs, their books, and everything else. Enjoy every bit of reading that because the minute that you go home, you're going to throw their CD and their book in the corner. You're going to realize that you spent part of your food money or your rent money on that product you're never going to use, and you got nothing out of it because they're nothing but a different form of an addictive drug. Then you come here to Healing Through Hurt, and here we go, keeping it real. Y'all going to walk away, some walk away with an attitude. It's okay. See you next week when I'm probably going to make you have an attitude again. It's all good.
Oh, God. That is true.
You know me, Sister Arlene. You know me, Sister Arlene. I've always kept it real. I'm not the one to be played with, people.
Hey, and we will know the truth, and the truth is what makes us free, so keep it coming.
Oh, my goodness. You know, people, I've been through the fire. I've been scorched, burned, everything you can think of. Been sick, been to the other side, came back, sent back, didn't want to come back, but I am back. So I don't have a choice but to keep it real with you. So, people, I've cried a million tears, but there is going to come a time when you're going to get sick and tired of even doing that. There's going to come a day when you're going to cry your last tear. Trust me. When that day comes and you're numb and you don't feel anything, that's when you're really going to be at your crossroad. That's going to be one of the hardest decisions you're ever going to make because you only have two choices. Walk forward into a new destiny in the unknown or walk back into your uncomfortable comfort zone. It's only two. And I'm going to tell you, I'm here to help anyone who's ready to be helped. But the minute that everything I say you find fault with, everything I say you will tear it apart. When you're attacking me, the person that's trying to help you, and you are defending the person that has ripped you apart since day one, that lets me know that you're not ready and I'm not the one that's meant to help you.
Mm.
Because you will not take up space in my world and block that position to someone who's crying for help, that person that's looking for that beacon of light that may be me. So you have to want this. You have to want to heal. You have to want to move forward. You have to be prepared not to look backwards. Not to look backwards like that pillar of salt. Because when you turn around, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm.
If you all don't know what I'm talking about, Google it.
Yeah, but you're right. You know, you're right, because we can't no longer allow ourselves to just keep being hurt by people. And
yes.
If you have someone out here that's willing to help and assist you so that you are no longer being under the grips of that offender, that's what I'm going to call them, because they're offending you. But
right.
It's your choice. It's your choice to take part in your own healing. I mean, we can talk all day long, but it becomes your responsibility to be a part of it and to be responsible, to care enough about you so that whatever the situation is, you're taking yourself out of that situation now.
Yes.
Because you're concerned about you. It's all about you getting to the point where you can love you. It's one
yes.
thing for me to love you. I can say I love you all day long. But do you love you enough that you will allow someone else to pour into your life and help raise you up for the purpose that God has here? For, and then you said it earlier. We all have some purpose for being here.
Yes.
So, and that doormat is not the purpose. Being slapped around, knocked around, called all kinds of names is not the purpose. Being put in a position where you think that you're only for this one abusive person and that's all you are sent here for is this one abusive person and, you know, that's it. And after that, there's no one else. Oh, he's gone. I'm no good, and I'm not fit for anyone else. So I'll die being alone, or I'll just push myself in a corner somewhere and, you know, just watch
right.
as things go around in the world. No, ladies, that's not it for you. If you are willing to love you and if you are willing to reach out and accept the gift as it comes to you, and I like what you said, C. Maria, don't stand in someone else's way. If the offer is being given to you, but you're not going to take hold of it, then you just step aside and allow that person who says, I'm tired of hurting. It's time for me to heal now. And you have a way to help me? You have some encouraging words that can help get me there? Okay, sister, bring it on. I want just a little part of your world so that I can be a better me. So that's what we're looking for. But you have to want and desire that change for yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
that's
tell
all
you,
I have to say.
We got a few more minutes, but we're back over here in the Facebook chat room. Victoria, I'm going to tell you something. She put up a video from Mary yesterday. And one of the main lines is, I decided that I cried my last tear yesterday.
Yes,
I'm going to tell
yes.
you something, Victoria. I remember we were at my ex-husband's sister's house, and that song came on the radio. That was the beginning of my exit plan. Because at that point, I had cried my last tear. yesterday, and about a year or so ago, I did a show up in Philadelphia, Inspiring Lives with Dr. Shelley. And one of the things that I talked about, because I was a guest on her show, was the fact that I haven't cried, and I still haven't cried over any of it. I'm just that numb or something's going on, but now is not my time to cry. But that particular song by Mary Mary yesterday, mm-hmm. I decided that I cried my last tear yesterday.
Yes.
That was one of my theme songs right there. And it's odd that you put that one up because I was thinking about that song in my head before you put that up. So this is the power of what we're doing. This lets me know that there is divine intervention. There is divine anointing in this conversation. And Nisha Jackson writes, don't wait for another to complete you. The best thing you can do is be happy with you first. And what you said too, Sister Arlene, it's okay. I can love each and every one of you, but it doesn't mean a thing unless you are in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Until you are in love, there's a difference between loving and being in love.
Mm-hmm.
You have
mm-hmm.
to be in love with you. So Nisha goes on to say, you have to be happy with you first. So don't be afraid to take time to heal you.
Yes.
There's nothing worse than being a serial relationship non-expert, spreading that poison over and over again, because you can't be alone, becoming unhappier and unhappier and wondering why. And wondering why. That's the thing. Then you wonder why. It's amazing that all of a sudden you wonder why. Well, now you know why. Because you become your own serial destroyer. You're continuing the vicious cycle over and over. And Victoria writes, learn to be with yourself and love yourself. Then and only then will you not allow or accept anything less. Anything less. And I could sit up here and tell you all that marriage is overrated and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to tell you that. I love the art of marriage. I love being in a relationship. But on the flip side, until the right relationship is manifested again or shown to me, I love coming home, sitting here, being with you all, working on other ways to help the world even more. That's what gives me joy.
Mm.
So many people sit home, you want to wallow in your sorrows, you want to eat, and then you want to know you put on the weight, and then you get more depressed, and you do that. I'm getting older. My metabolism is slowing down. I don't know what's going on with my hormones. I'm putting on the weight for no particular reason. I don't have time to eat it on, too, because I'm depressed. So, therefore, I find hobbies. I'll go out and walk. I'm going to go outside and just look at the stars in a few moments. Because after I do this show, I'm so pumped. I just need that time. I might just go downstairs and once again look at my treadmill just because. I'm just that pumped up.
So, oh, God.
I'm going to go right down there. Yes, I am. I mean, you
and
all
know
what?
Look at it.
Look, I'm tired.
Okay,
it's a couple flights
okay.
of steps. That's good enough.
Well, that was your exercise, is flights and steps,
that's right.
Okay?
That's right. That works for me.
My, my, my.
I'm like, I have a beautiful treadmill, you know, one with all those bells and whistles and all this stuff. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. I'm going to walk down there and look at it. Then I'm going to say, mm-hmm, it's still there. And I'm going to come walk right back up several flights of steps, and mm-hmm. I'll be done.
And C. Maria, you know, there's scripture that says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And you just did my heart.
Oh, my goodness. We up and lost. Arlene, Sister Arlene, she just lost us. I did her heart so good, I gave her phone an attack. She's just gone. So hopefully she'll come back on. We have about 2 minutes left or so. So while we're waiting for Sister Arlene to come back, tomorrow morning, the Sunday Morning Inspiration is coming back with all of our shows. If you miss them, you can always come back and listen to them in the archives. If you're not on Facebook, you can always email me at which address do I want to use? I have so many. Maria Wall at thewallfoundationinc.org. You can always contact me there, or healingwithmaria@yahoo.com. That's even better, because that's not the main foundation email address. And, of course, you can always give me a call, 202-618-2556. Just tell me what show you'd like to have, and I'll be sure to get you out the replay link for that. And Sister Arlene is back. We have about 2 minutes left. I told him, I said, Sister Arlene, her heart was so good I gave your phone a heart attack.
That's what happened. I had to go plug up. I was like, oh, my gosh, my phone went out.
Oh, my goodness. But we have about 2 minutes left. Sister Arlene, would you like to say any words before we end the session? Thank you so much to the ladies over in the chat room. Sister Victoria LaPrince and Sister Nisha Jackson, thank you so much for joining us here for our Girls Night Out for this very informative conversation. Sister Arlene, do you have any ending words? Uh-oh, your phone is acting up.
Is it acting up again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, no words. I'm done.
Well, if you type it over on Facebook, I can read it for you.
Okay.
And in the meantime, for those of you, I pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. I also pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn that frown you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. And as always, before we go, I would always like to remind you to continue to pay it and pray it forward. So until next time, just remember, you were built to be God awesome and Jesus strong. And on behalf of Sister Arlene and myself, just remember, you are worth so much more. Sister Arlene, are you still there?
I am still here. Can you hear me?
Oh, now you're clear. So we have about 18 seconds, so if you'd like to say a few words, go for it.
I already put it out there on Facebook for us to continue to grow more and more in love with ourselves each and every day. Let's just go out and grow and grow and grow. That's it.
That is it. Thank you so much for being here with us on Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio's Girls Night Out. This is our first in our return session. Thank you so much for being here with us. Ladies over in the Facebook chat room, Nisha and Victoria, thank you so much. Much love and respect to all of you thank you so much for being here. Sister Arlene is always, always a pleasure. And I actually enjoyed. I believe this was our first time having our one-on-one session. So we have to do this again.
All right.
Yes, this was very enlightening. And thank you to all of the callers. You all hung in here with us from the beginning. Thank you so much for being here. We're right here in our after show. We've actually gone off air for people who are listening, but they'll be able to hear all of this in its entirety. So to any of our guests still on the line, if you'd like to say something before we end, press the number one on your phone now. If not, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for joining Sister Arlene and myself and Sister Nasha and Sister Victoria. We look forward to seeing you again soon for our next Girls Night Out. And over here in Facebook, we have some ending responses. Nisha Jackson says, much love and success to you all. And Victoria LaPrince writes, let me get over here. Thank you all. Awesome conversation. Have a blessed night. Thank you, my sister, you too. Do join us again. We will be here again next week. And, of course, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for the Sunday morning inspiration. Until then, be well, be blessed, and we will see you soon. And as always, our opening and closing music is titled Good Music by Tori Lee. Great song, great feel-good song. We hope that you all have enjoyed your time with us this evening. And as always, until next time, I'm C. Maria Wall with Arlene Spann, wishing you all the best of everything. We pray each and every one of you enough, and we will see you here again soon. And join us if you're on Facebook. You can join us on our Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement group or Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio, presented by the Wall Foundation, Inc. We have several pages there, but that's the main page for this talk show. And, of course, if you need us, 202-618-2556. If you'd like to talk to Sister Arlene Spann of Arlene Spann Sweats about health and wellness and getting yourself to be the very best person you can be health-wise, Sister Arlene, you can give them your contact information before I play our closing music.
Yes, I can be reached at 240-354-9174 or at www.arlenespannsweats.com. Thank you. C. Maria.
Thank you, my sister Arlene Spann of Arlene Spann Sweats. I am C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the mediator, the Shiro at your ground zero, praying each and every one of you enough. And as always, once again, continue to pay it and pray it.
Pray it.
Forward.
Forward.
We will see you soon.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. But lies. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music. Oh, oh, oh. With only good music. I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I'd give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trait. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good